Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet 100 and get 100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. And we're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Bingo. It's a $57 SGPN gift card for every bingo hit. We're also brought to you by SGPN's 57 Bets Challenge, $570 cash and a $570 gift card to the winner of the props contest. Get all the contest info exclusively on the SGPN app. And if you're going to be out in Arizona for the big game, make sure to check out our live show at the Ainsworth on Thursday at 11 a.m. Register today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game. And welcome into the Fantasy Hockey Podcast presented by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's a big week over here. It's the Super Bowl. But we got hockey back. You know, we got the NHL back after the All-Star break. It was kind of a dull weekend, in my opinion. I don't know about you, Nick, but, you know, I wasn't really too excited about it.
Yeah, not a lot to really look forward to. I mean, it's just the same thing every year. Guys just screwing around, whatever, getting their bonuses. But, yeah, it's good to be back on the college hockey side on a little cheeky three-game winning streak at the moment. We played Wheaton College. They're like the bottom of the barrel. We had a 15-6 and a 16-5 W on a Friday and Saturday. And they had the craziest fans, I'll tell you. And the way their rink is built, the bleachers are in one spot, and then there's the glass right on the bleachers. And you could literally reach over the glass and touch the players. Yeah, it's very odd. And guys like literally have their heads over the glass that are watching the game. But it was a cool experience. The whole stadium just erupted in boos every time we got on the ice. Cool. It was, yeah, cool. Definitely a cool little experience to get to have. And then this past weekend, we played Northwestern in a little last minute deal. It was like last Sunday. We get a text like, "Hey, can the boys come up and play?" Because they were supposed to play, Lake Superior State for their senior night. Mm-hmm. And they bailed on them because they're coming from all the way up north in Michigan. Right. So they got us for their senior night and came in and gave them a 5-2 whooping.
Dang, on their senior night.
And well, the best part about it was is they, since it was their senior night, they bought us a bunch of pizza. And so we were coming back from the game and there's like probably about half of the guys on the bus.
That's awesome.
And half of the guys went home. So we all got our own pizza after the game. And yeah, it was definitely a good W for sure. As we were
How's the bus situation over there? Were you riding charter?
So we got a little 24-man bus that we ride.
Okay. So it's like a school bus.
Yeah. And since we've got 11 guys with two coaches this weekend, because our head coach was gone on the team. Yeah. So it makes everyone's got their own little space, but it was tough because, you know, one of the parents is out of town and the other one was like, "I'm not driving home from Evanston at 12 o'clock at night," because it was a 10-10 at night game. And so, yeah, I got up to the bus at 7:30, got to the rink, played the game, got on the bus. By the time I got home, it was 2:30 in the morning. Ooh, and so,
boy, that's life right there. That's the hockey life. I love
long
it.
Long time to buzz after a good game, but we got a couple weeks off before playoffs here. But what about you? What about the Bullets Blueberry Bulldogs? What are you guys up to?
the Blueberry Bulldogs are doing just fine. We got we had our last game of our regular season yesterday. We tied 1-1. It was a little tough one. I was a little hurt. I was like, man, I felt like we were gonna, you know, finish the season strong. Thought mm-hmm. we were gonna walk away with a win, and it was just we let one in with like a second, not even a second left in the second period, and mm-hmm. like, you know, it's bodies on top of bodies on top of our goalie. You got the referee behind the net. He's just like pounding down his arm that the puck is in, like he's letting the net know it and have it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's making sure every coach, you know, from each bench can see clearly that he's calling mm-hmm. it a goal as time expires. And yeah, it was a good game. It was our head coach mm-hmm. playing his previous team that he had coached for like decades, I guess. Mm-hmm. So there was, you know, there were some vibes in the building for sure. Mm-hmm. But we start our playoffs next week. The team has not had a winning season in I don't know how many years. Apparently, it's like they tell me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've heard like all sorts of different numbers: 5, 7, 10 years, whatever. But finished with a winning record. We got one of our playoffs. We got a bye, and the other one we're setting up for. I think we're like a fifth seed. I think there's one more game that has to happen. We'll find out if we're a fifth mm-hmm. or a sixth. So, yeah, not bad. We're not at the bottom yeah. of the barrel. So that's solid.
Right.
And everyone think that that's or believes at least around us in our community that hey, mm-hmm. we're doing a pretty good job. So I'll take it.
Yeah, getting to see the Blueberry Bulldogs play. You guys look pretty good. Got some little guys out there, but. Yeah, it seemed like you got a lot of young guys, not as much veteran presence, so that's always nice, especially at the high school level. But you got enough veteran presence to get by. But
our best players are still seniors, so
yeah. Were you guys starting the hot tender that you got, as Goody would say? You got a hot tender?
I mean, both of our goalies are really, really good, mm-hmm. but our guy, mm-hmm. he got a fucking concussion in practice. We told these kids again and again and again, keep your shots down. Keep your shots down. Stop mm-hmm. buzzing the goalie's ears. You know what I mean? You don't need mm-hmm. to be ripping him past his neck and ripping mm-hmm. him past his head. And these fucking idiots hit him mm-hmm. in the mouth twice. Wow. The mouth.
Right in the noggin?
No. I mean like his teeth. Like his teeth were bleeding from his cage. Yeah. And they hit him like in the same spot and like back-to-back shots or something like that. And yeah, it was in practice. It sucked. But no, our we don't. I don't believe that like we have a backup. Like both of our guys are like really good. Mm-hmm. I love both of our goalies. There's always like when you compare two guys, like there's always someone that's typically going to have an edge. And yeah, our guy that had an edge was, you know, he's been out, but mm-hmm. we've been doing good still. Got you know, plenty of wins without him. Mostly ties though. We love to tie this year.
Yeah, you guys tied when I was there, and
I know we tied yesterday too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just love to tie. It's crazy.
I don't know. Maybe you just can't buy the extra ice time to go to overtime or something.
We did one game into overtime, and mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we still wound up tying because we had mm-hmm. the ice time. We were just like, oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a non-league yeah. game. We'll do it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, back when I played high school, being right on the border, we played Illinois and Indiana teams, and the Indiana teams, it was always a tie whenever mm-hmm. we played them. But then in Illinois, it went right to a shootout. There was no overtime or anything, and I hated that. There was one year, I think my freshman year, we lost 6 or 7 games in the shootout against Illinois teams.
Yeah, that's no good. That's no good. Going straight to a shootout is kind of a waste of time, in my opinion. I mean, I like the mm-hmm. idea of, you know, not settling a game with a tie, but yeah, going mm-hmm. straight to it is a bit much. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, we've geared ourselves well off track here to start this show. So that's mm-hmm. great. Love that. Mm-hmm. Before we get into the fantasy hockey conversation, let's hit a quick word from our sponsors. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays, a.k.a. WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. The big game is here, and WynnBET has you covered. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. And if you're ready to play, you can sign up today and receive a special offer. Bet 100, get 100. It's limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700.
If you're going to be out in Arizona for the big game, make sure to check out the SGP's live show at Ainsworth Thursday at 11 a.m. Register today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game. The show is free, and you'll be able to watch the show, have some drinks with the guys. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game.
All right, let's dive into some fantasy hockey waivers. Got a pretty good list here, and we will close the show on some goalies that you should be selling right now or potentially even dropping if you're me. First guy up here, scorching hot, Philip Hedel of the New York Rangers. This is a weird third line that he's centering. It's him, Lafreniere, and Kapokako. The weird thing about it, great line, it's also their second power play line. So they're stacking up their first power play with all their top six players, and then they're just throwing out their third line on PP2. And I'm absolutely loving it. Dude's on fire right now. 6 goals, 1 assist in his last 4 games. Yeah, 6 goals.
Wow. And yeah, you mentioned, playing on that second power play with those guys is huge, but he could very well move up the lineup too. I think you could maybe switch around him and Vinny Trocheck possibly. I know Barclay Goudreau's on the second line. I know you could possibly see Kapokako move up. So definitely a lot of upside here for Mr. Hedel for sure. You mentioned the goal scoring has been there for him. 18 goals, 13 assists on the year, plus 17. Coming off the All-Star break here, played yesterday, had 2 goals in a overtime win, I believe, against the Calgary Flames. Has a really good schedule coming up here. Yeah, Vancouver at home tomorrow night, which would be Wednesday the 8th. You've got Seattle on the 10th. And then Carolina, Edmonton, and Vancouver all on the road for his next 3. Very favorable for him. And, yeah, I like the production for sure. And I think his ownership rate will go up for sure as it's up plus 16 in the last day as he's sitting at 33% rostered. So he could very well be available in your league. But if you're in a deeper league, you got to get on him right now because, yeah, he is red hot.
Yeah, absolutely. So his rostership went up or doubled, I should say, in the last day. Went from 11 to 33, something like that. So pretty impressive. Great run. Like Nick mentioned, great run of matchups coming up as well. Vancouver, Seattle, Carolina, not great, but it's on the road. You know, they're going to be trying to do a lot of creative things. And then Vancouver and Edmonton, like Vancouver twice in that mix. Seattle, Edmonton, all positive game flow. You know, they score those teams, but they also allow quite a few goals. Next man up here, we have Kyle Palmieri, who at the deadline, it looks like he may have been a benefactor of the Bo Horvat trade. The Islanders and the Canucks swapped Bo Horvat and Anthony Beauvillier and some other assets that I don't necessarily know for sure because I don't have them pulled up in front of me. But with Horvat coming over to the Islanders, that pushes down Brock Nelson the line too. Now that group is looking like Nelson, Palmieri, and Anders Lee. Not good, but, you know, not bad at all. That's for sure. I mean, it definitely makes his team's top six far more competitive. Palmieri has a goal and 5 assists in his last 5 games, 15 points on 26 games played this season. I think he's a pretty good buy option right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Hasn't played a game recently where he hasn't not gotten a point. So there's that. The ice time is there, getting above 15 minutes a game here. And yeah, he's another one of those guys where I think in the deeper leagues, you're going to have to get on him right now. 17% rostered, 12% in the last day. So literally yesterday he was sitting at 5%. Now he's at 17. And yeah, playing on the second line with Lee and Nelson, I really like that. Brock Nelson just went in the sharpshooter competition, knocking out all 4 targets, which was surprising to me. Had my money on McDavid, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, Palmieri is also on the second power play with Sebastian Aho, not the one from Carolina, but the other Sebastian Aho. So definitely a lot to like there as depending on how much they get their power play out. And yeah, definitely buy option for sure. And I think, 17% roster, way better chance of being available in your league, whether you're a deeper league or not. 17% is not very high for a guy like him at the moment.
Yeah, he was dealing with an upper body injury before the break. 15 points in just 26 games this season. I like it. since coming back, he's been playing a lot, been stuffing the stat sheet, and man, getting the pucks on net. Four shots on goal total in his last two games, four shots on goal in the 27th versus Detroit. And then his first couple of games back, he had back-to-back games with three shots on goal. So maybe someone to also look out for if you get a, you know, favorable number on a shots on goal prop. I did want to ask you, you know, because of that trade, like, do you have any, you know, upside or favorability to looking at Anthony Beauvillier? He's only 6% rostered. He's having a bad season, but, you know, we've seen what he can do. You know, we've seen him have a good run with the Islanders. Is a change of scenery, is a new locker room going to be good for him? You know, one of the better players available for the Canucks right now, you know, I've got Brock Besser, who's got 9 goals and 21 assists on the season, but he's more of like a third line player. Would you rather have him or Anthony Beauvillier, who is going to be playing on the, on that top line? I believe he's playing between, he's playing with Kuzmenko and who's, Elias Pettersson. It's not bad. It's not bad, but I'm not a big Pettersson fan, and Kuzmenko, I still think he's got a lot to prove, but I've liked what I've seen. Like, I don't really have a lot of bad things to say about him.
Yeah, it's really hard with both of these guys. Overall, I think for right now, I'd have to take Brock Besser. I just kind of know what I'm getting out of him. I know what kind of numbers he's going to produce. Sitting at 9 goals, 21 assists, a minus 12, 91 shots on goal this year. Well, Beauvillier, 9 goals, 11 assists, a minus 6, and 115 shots on goal. And Beauvillier, he's just been bad, bad, bad. He is not able to string.
The Islanders have been bad. He's the first game with the first game with the Canucks wasn't great. He was a minus two, but he played you know a ton of minutes. You know, he played over 17 minutes. So, but I mean, I don't want to judge him too hard on the Islanders situation, because the Islanders were doing pretty bad before the break. I mean, they look a lot better now after this trade, but.
Yeah, the point I'm kind of getting at with him is that I want to see a little bit more before I actually want to commit on Beauvillier, because Besser, you kind of know what you're expecting. Beauvillier doesn't have the best track record in with the Islanders, so I want to see him kind of produce a little bit more with Vancouver, get it string together a couple good games before I would want to get him on the radar. Well, with Besser, his consistency is kind of on and off, but you know what you're getting out of him with but with Beauvillier, he could very well skyrocket and be really good, or he could just be having these below average numbers here.
Man, this team is bad. Besser's playing with Vesely Podzlikin and Sheldon Greese.
Yeah, Podkolzin.
Podkolzin.
Yeah, that's not a good line. And who knows, maybe Rick Tocchet can turn it around.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That TNT insight, he could bring it to work here.
Good luck, bud. Good luck. All right, next up, we got Max Domi. He has 3 goals, 6 assists in his last 10 games. We're not going to say buzzing, but he's been doing pretty good. And he has points in 5 straight, assists in 4 straight. Looking pretty good. Playing on the second line with Taylor Radish and Philip Kershaw. That's who it was. Also on the power play, 35 points, 48 games. You know, he's got a good matchup tonight up against Anaheim on the 10th. He's got Arizona, Winnipeg on the 11th, Montreal after that. Like, the schedule, it's kind of hot and cold going forward. Like, good matchup today and the next one for Arizona. Winnipeg not good. Montreal's good. Toronto's kind of so-so, and Ottawa's good. So, I mean, he's an ad drop type of player this season, in my opinion. He's not someone that you're holding on to year-long, but right now he looks really good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What is it, like, points in 8 straight, I think I looked at earlier. He's been on fire this year, or not this year, just down the stretch here. A couple favorable games here, but not really anyone you want to hold on to long term. I would keep him for the Anaheim game for sure, and the Arizona game most definitely. I think those will be really good matchups for him at home. But it's weird with the Chicago team. You got no Jonathan Toews tonight, so Jason Dickinson is centering the line one opposed to Max Domi, because I would have expected to see Johnson, Kane, Domi opposed to Dickinson, Kane, Domi. But yeah, he's been really good this year, but I do think he will unfortunately too get moved at the deadline, which could raise or decline some of his value as well if you're in a deeper league and you're holding a guy like him long term.
Yeah, man, I'd like to see him get moved for something. I'd like to see the Hawks start to tank a little bit. Okay.
We're not doing good at that right now. We're
too many wins in this last stretch. In these last 10 games, I think we've got 5 wins, and that's just one win too many. Last year's gonna win too many. We ain't going nowhere. I don't know what these dudes are doing, but yeah, they need to be moving everybody. Let's go. Let's get with it. Vancouver looks way worse than us on paper, at least. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how long you're gonna hang on to him. Like Nick said, you know, if you get him moved at the deadline and he gets a roster upgrade, then yeah, you know, it could be a very fruitful addition right now. And, you know, honestly, as long as he produces tonight against Arizona, I mean, I'd probably just continue to ride him, because if, I mean, he has points in five straight games, but those five games stretch back to the 21st of January. Like,
right,
he's coming up on a month. I mean, obviously we had an all-star break and whatnot. The schedule was a little bit flabbergasted, but still, like, you know, when he's getting on the ice, he's scoring, he's stuffing the stat sheet. So definitely someone you want to own right now. And there's really no movement on him. Just 1% in the last day, 25% rostered. My bet is he's probably wildly available. And this next guy, absolutely wildly available. Adam Henrique doesn't make it on the list very often. 19% rostered with 19 goals on the season. But he's been scoring. Seven goals in his last nine games. Also has three assists. But, man, Buddy is scoring. Playing up with their top line with Trevor Zegras and Ryan Strome. Got a little bit of everything, right? Yeah, you got a little bit of offense, a little bit of defense. You know, it's not bad, but it's very not great. Own him until there's a reason not to. I mean, I don't love these matchups, but home games, you know, playing at home.
Asshole. Veteran presence.
Veteran presence, baby.
But yeah, he's been doing a good job with Anaheim. It's not really that often a guy from the Ducks makes on the list, but he's centering the first power play. He's playing on this, it's an okay first line. What is funny to me that Troy Terry, right after the All-Star game, all of a sudden it's day to day. So he's not on that first line. And yeah, normally he would be up there with Zegras, but now Ryan Strome's moved up. And, yeah, it's going to be it'll be interesting down the stretch here. I do like the Chicago matchup. I think at that point that matchup is it's kind of a coin toss. It could go either way, but I do like Chicago. But I think Adam Henrique will be able to produce. It's not a strong goaltending matchup with Mrazek and Stolarz. So I definitely think it'll be high scoring. But then you got Pittsburgh, Vegas, Buffalo, L.A. I mean, he could very well get something going, but they just don't – down the stretch, they don't score a lot of goals. But for the meantime, I like him. I would add him for tonight against Chicago and see what he does.
I want to see really quick where he sits for like the last 30 days with like scoring. Oh, no. No, he's like mid-tier. He's not all the way up there. Let's see what he is for the last 14 days. I bet that's where he's like really high. Where are you? Hedl's up there in the last 14 days. He's at 5. We mentioned him. Rafael Harvey Pinard. Someone we may need to take note on.
Yeah, I was watching them when the Canadians were playing the Leafs, I think. I had Leafs money line, and of course, Canadians stole it right from them. And
I heard that
name Harvey Pinard a lot because that whole Montreal team is like in shambles right now, and they're literally just digging down from the bottom of the barrel for players here. Looking at because you got no Cole Caulfield over there, no Gallagher, Armia, Slavkovsky,
this kid's got no rhyme or reason. He's got two goals in his last game. He had two goals in the 26th versus Detroit. Pretty much every other game he scores a goal, and every other game he plays more than 10 minutes.
Well, it's funny because looking on Daily Faceoff on
volatile team, situation.
Just looking on Daily Faceoff, they have Jesse Ylönen, who I've never even heard of, Christian Dvorak, and Chris Weidman. And Chris Weidman's a defenseman. That's how how close they are to. I think they're past the bottom of the
barrel. Going with the Bufflin approach, I like it.
Yeah, the Brent Burns move there. Yeah.
Okay.
I saw that the other night while I was watching one of the Hawks games a couple weeks ago, and they were actually trying Caleb Jones at forward.
Okay.
Which was very weird to me.
Make it work. All right. I couldn't find Henrique on the month long list. On the 2 week list, he's like mid tier. He's got a lot of goals. So. All right, next guy up here, next couple of guys up here, you know, every episode we got to get our daily dose of the Seattle Kraken, so here we go again. Eli Tolvanen, we've mentioned him before, but he's on a three-goal game streak. There it is, got it out. The last time I had a player on the list that did this, it was Boone Jenner. He followed up that performance with a goal. So I'm expecting at least a goal today up against the Islanders or a goal on the ninth up against the Devils from Eli Tolvanen. you know, he's not playing a ton of minutes, but he's scoring. It's just a trendy pickup. You know, if you're hurting for somebody and you just need, you know, to get somebody on the roster for the night, I think Tolvanen's a good candidate. He's just scoring. It's as simple as it is. Mm-hmm. And like Nick and I have talked about him before. We've already said how he's a shooter first. He's always going to be throwing the puck at the net. Like, he just constantly fits that role. He just doesn't get to play enough.
Yeah, that's best way to put it, really. But since he's come over from Nashville, he's actually been able to play a role over here. While in Nashville, he was kind of a healthy scratch, and right. Now he comes over here. He's actually putting pucks in the back of the net, getting some sort of minutes. But, yeah, definitely kind of hold him until he's cold is the kind of situation. He's in a situation where he can very easily die down, being in the third line, not getting a lot of minutes. And right. He could very well even slip off that first power play with Vince Dunn. Mm-hmm. But in the spot he's in right now, I like it. And I think he's a good ad for the time being. And I'll be curious to see what he's going to coming up here on this road trip where you got the Islanders, the Devils, the Rangers, Flyers, and the Jets. I think Kraken can take a lot of those matchups there. And I think Tolvanen could probably get some goals in. But it'll be tricky like we talked about with that ice time.
Half a point per game. 14 mm-hmm. points, 28 games. Not bad. It's not bad. 10 goals, 4 assists. All right, next up we have Mr. Philip Grubauer of the Seattle Kraken. Pretty much the backup this season. I mean, Martin Jones has played double the amount of games, but Grubauer has been pretty solid recently, and Jones has been splitting, I believe, his wins and losses and his starts in between. I don't think this is a must-make move, but I think he should definitely be on your watch list. We talk about the Kraken all the time. They could be, they could run away, I guess, with their division down the stretch of the season. I don't know where I was going with that, about to make some grand claim about the Kraken, but I'm expecting that they're going to have a strong finish to the season, and he's one of these goalies that are kind of sitting around on the waiver wire that I'm looking at. You know, in his last 4 starts, he has 2 wins. He has back-to-back games with only 1 goal allowed. You know, he's looking better, you know, so I definitely feel like he should be on folks' radars, and right now, if you need somebody, I think he's worth it because they are going to be on a rough road trip. And I think the Kraken, you know, could, you know, have some challenges here. And you might see Martin Jones, you know, maybe be a little bit more skirmish. And maybe we see a little bit of a trend flip between him and Grubauer. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's a good streaming option. I think someone you just get in and plug for that night. Seattle knows how to win hockey games. They're really in that spot between where, based on this next stretch of games before the deadline, they could be middle of the pack of their division, or they could easily run away with their division. And Philip Grubauer is going to be a piece to that puzzle where when Jones is sitting out, Grubauer is the guy. And on a winning team like Seattle, when they're winning hockey games, I say Philip Grubauer is definitely good for sure. And he'll definitely be someone I actually look out for my team personally, because the way my goaltenders are set up is I have Darcy Kemper as the main guy. And then I have one other option as a streaming option for getting an extra goalie in. And I think that's really valuable to have on a lot of fantasy teams, get a goalie in every day. And yeah, Grubauer is definitely on my list to be one of those goalies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's not a sexy trending play. He's actually down 2% across the last day. I just see this team needing to be competitive down the stretch, and they're going to need good goaltending to do it. So I think Grubauer can be a part of that. Last up from the Kraken, then we'll hit a quick word from the sponsors, is Oliver Bjorkstrand plays on the same line as Tolvanen. They play outside of Yanni Gourde. He's got points in 3 straight games, assists in back-to-back games, and before that he had a two-goal game in a 6-1 win up against Vancouver. Just playing the trend. That's it. I'm going to say again, like Tolvanen, he gets some action here tonight up against the Islanders and something up against New Jersey on the 9th.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think he's just another guy that's kind of a plug and dump. He has been good the last few games here, but he hasn't played since the All-Star break, so you never know what is going to come of him, and that's what makes fantasy hockey so hard with this All-Star game, is you never know. Guys can go really cold after that, or they can really heat up. But with Bjorkstrand, he had a few games, didn't really get anything. He was on a little tear for a while, mid part of January, but now points in a couple games or a few games in a row here. Yeah, I would get a piece of him. I like some action in some of these games here, and yeah, I think he's a good pickup. Only 9% roster too. Definitely going to be available. Definitely a good option for sure.
All right, we're gonna hit a quick word from the sponsors, and we'll be right back after this. Make sure to sign up for the SGPN app and get your own big game bingo card full of all your favorite big game prop bets. If you get bingo, you'll win a $57 SGPN gift card. The only catch is you must be subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast and NFL Gambling Podcast on YouTube to win. Be sure to set that up now.
In honor of big game, SGPN is hosting a prop bet contest. Make your picks for 57 different prop bets. Winner will get $570 cash and a $570 gift card to the SGPN store. All of our contests are free to play and exclusively on the SGPN app.
All right, right on. And we're back. We're talking the last of our waiver wire pickups here. Next up, we had mentioned the Montreal Canadiens a little bit. We got Mr. Kirby Doc. Since the big set of injuries, he's been playing a ton of minutes. Since the 21st of January, he's been playing over 20 minutes a game, over 21 minutes a game, actually. And that's five straight games. And in those games, he has 4 points. He has three goals and an assist. I believe through his last 10, he has a pretty good stretch as well. Five goals and four assists, and is a plus zero through that stretch. Not bad considering he's a minus six on the season. He is playing in the middle of Evgeny Dadonov and Hoffman. I like that line. It's kind of weird that they actually still have like a decent group there. I really don't like what else they have rostered, or at least how they have them assembled right now. But I don't know. I don't think this is a bad situation to buy in. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that second line is surprisingly really good right now. I think that matches up well against a lot of other teams' second lines that are in the middle of the pack, to say the least, in the NHL. But yeah, with Kirby Doc, he centers that line. He's on the first power play unit, a name we know really well from his days in Chicago. And he has that center right wing designation, which is always nice, especially when you're looking at a guy just to kind of pick up. And yeah, his production's been there. The ice time has been there. He's not a guy that's hurting you, which is surprising, being on the Montreal Canadiens and how bad they've been this year. So yeah, definitely someone I would be interested in for sure. And they got a little, homestand here with the Islanders, Oilers, and Chicago coming up next week. So I like those games for sure, but I don't like him right now, personally. He's not someone I'm going to pick up right now. Doesn't play until the 11th, yeah, which falls. Yeah, that the 11th, let me look at my calendar. Yeah, that's this Saturday. So yeah, Saturday, I would wait. Sunday. Yeah, so he plays Saturday, Sunday, and then next Tuesday. So a lot of games in bulk there coming up on the end of the week into the beginning of next week. So definitely someone to pick up on later this week.
Got back-to-back afternoon games. Back-to-back prime time games.
11:30, yeah.
For the shithouse Canadians. Like, what? This league is weird, man. Mm-hmm. The NHL just always an enigma to try and solve.
Well, did you hear what they're doing in Florida?
No.
Supposedly, they want to try and have an outdoor game there, which is the funniest thing.
Why? Like, why? Like, what are we trying? What are we trying to prove?
Like, they announced that during the All-Star game, and I saw that, and I was like, "You got how? How can you do that? It's like 80 degrees and sunny."
Was the All-Star game not enough for you? Like, I don't understand. I don't know. Do they get how warm it is under that all that equipment? Like, you put a goalie in that game, he's going to hyperventilate by the first period. Like, are you talking about?
And yeah, and they couldn't pull it off in Utah. So, because I remember, yeah, the ice was melting and that delayed the game. And so I'm going to be very interested to see if that actually happens. But supposedly they're talking about having an outdoor game in Florida with the Panthers and the Lightning.
High as an elephant's asshole. I don't get it. Moving on. Mr. Glass. Mr. Toady Glass. Cody Glass. 2% rostered. I was getting that two out a little too soon. Mm-hmm. Cody Glass. Line one center for the Nashville Predators. Only 2% rostered. Not sure how people have missed the memo here. I mean, by all means, the scoring isn't like electric. He does have goals in back-to-back games and points in four out of his last five. He's looking good, but seems like he should be owned more than 2%, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know how you missed the memo on a first line center like that. I know Parsinen, I think that's how you say it. Mm-hmm. We'll just call him Yuso. Yuso was playing on the first line for a while, and he got bumped down to line three, and he was one of those guys too playing on that first line. He had low ownership and he was getting good production. And I see the same with Cody Glass here, playing with those two guys on the second power play on the point. Might get a few looks here and there, but I definitely like him for sure. I actually added him myself a little bit earlier before the show. And I like these numbers. He's getting double-digit fantasy points in three straight. Didn't do anything back on the 19th. But then outside of that, he has been rock solid. Definitely someone to I think he's one of those guys that I would put on my priority to add for list for sure, as I did already add him. But, yeah, for your fantasy team, definitely put him up the list. 2% rostered, center, right wing designation. I like the schedule too. Vegas, you got them at home. Yeah, Philly on the road, Arizona in the next three. So I like that for sure. But then after that, you kind of run into a tough patch there. You got Boston, Florida, Minnesota. Those games could go either way. But yeah, these next three games I like for sure. And he's another one of those guys who doesn't play until later in the week because he plays on the 11th, which is that Saturday, the 13th, so Monday. And then he doesn't play again until next Thursday against Boston. And so not a lot of tight matchups there in terms of getting your games in this week. But definitely down the stretch, looking into next week for the future, definitely someone to look at for sure if he continues doing well this week and does good in these next couple games here. As Vegas tonight at home should be a good test.
I like them to beat Vegas tonight. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there.
On home ice, yeah, at Bridgestone and Smashville, yeah.
Oh, yeah, a little Smashville mm-hmm. action. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them to win tonight. Yeah, give me some Cody Glass. I was going to pick him up in our league. I needed a center, but I didn't have a roster spot. Then Jari got moved to the IR, so I was like, woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you already took him, so you're a bastard.
Mm-hmm. I need a new guy. Matthews is on IR for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. I've been betting against the Maple Leafs, and it's been great, except for I did grab a couple losses, so it's not great.
Yeah, it's kind of a kick in the pants there. Getting
it is, but I've got it fitting a few, but a couple of them I was just like, what the hell are we doing here? Mm-hmm, like, your best player's not here. Get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. Why are you winning games?
Yeah, here, Cali Yarncroke trying to step up.
Yarncroke, get it. Stay on the sheet, Cal. Know your role.
Mm-hmm.
Be trendy, not reliable. All right, next guy up. Much friendlier presence on the show this year. Evan Rodriguez keeps making the cut. No one wants to pick this guy up. I don't know what it is, but every time we got to do a show, he is trending. I don't get it. Still playing a ton of minutes with players returning from injury. Has points in back-to-back games. Scored in his last game. But he's playing in Pittsburgh tonight. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been there for a while. I'm expecting him to do stuff this evening. Probably going to parlay that into his next couple of starts. Tampa, Florida, Tampa, Minnesota, St. Louis. He's a bit of a chippier player, so I think that they're going to need him in some bigger moments in those games. Albeit the playing time is down a little bit, but he's scoring again. I got zero arguments to pick up Evan Rodriguez. And you've been mentioning it, center, left wing, right wing designation. Mm-hmm. Lots of roster utility.
Yeah, the big problem I think with Evan Rodriguez is that people don't want to give him a shot is fantasy hockey players get impatient. When you want to get those games in every day and you're trying to rotate guys out, you're going to look at, okay, this guy did something yesterday, going to keep him, going to put him on the bench. This guy didn't do anything yesterday, he's getting dropped. And especially in these daily leagues where you can make those moves like that, I think, yeah, a lot of people get impatient. And that's when people can capitalize on moves like this. Like you mentioned, center, left wing, right wing, 11 goals, 15 assists on the season right now. Been looking really good. Last year, he was an enemy of the show, to say the least. He was on here a lot for very bad reasons. We love to harp on Mr. Erod, but this year he's gotten on better terms with the show, playing on that second power play with Comfort and Newhook, as well as the second line with Rantan and Comfort. Like these matchups here. Definitely someone to get on for sure. And, yeah, like you mentioned, the schedule's favorable coming up, and it's crazy to me. Playing on a top six line in Colorado. While Colorado isn't what like the powerhouse they were last year, they're still a good hockey club. There's no denying that. And having a top six guy out for the takings right now like that, just getting as much ice time as he is sitting around 16, 17 minutes, I think is a definite snag for sure at 26% roster.
He's on pace for a career year, right? Mm-hmm. He's got 26 points in 37 games. So give me a ticket here. Times a two. Yeah, you're looking most likely at a 55 plus point season here, you know, like pretty solid. He's also a plus five on the year. His best finish any season was a plus three, and that was last year. And last year, technically, he came off a career performance. It was 43 points, 19 goals, 24 assists. It was just too sporadic. You know, people need to get on this dude's vibe. Like, everyone owned him last year when they should have. This year, no one owns him when they should. It doesn't make any sense. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a weird situation with him. It's so on and off with him. And, yeah, just got to get him at the right time, because when you get him in, he's hot.
No, absolutely. And like you said, I love the situation with Colorado. I mean, you're playing on the same line as Mikko Rantanen, and like, good things should happen at some point. I believe they have him on the power play too, right? At one of them.
Yeah, I think he's on.
Yeah, he's on power play too. Yeah, with Newhook and JT Compher. So, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. People are apparently too honed in on his production from last year. Which, hey, I don't blame you. We weren't a fan of it, but it's a new year. Let's go. Mm-hmm. All right, last guy up here. Another common name, but again, buddy is flying around having fun. Mikael Backlund, 17% rostered. This dude is just an apple machine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 6 of his last 8 games, he has in at least 1 assist. And in 3 of those games, he has multiple assists. Dude is cleaning house. 4 assists last 2 games.
Cecil. Veteran presence again. Yeah. Veteran presence coming in clutch here, playing on that third line right now with Blake Coleman, Andrew Mangiapane, some younger guys, Backlund, a little bit of an older guy. And it's really funny how I talk about a lot how you see a lot of line changes. Last time we had Michael Backlund on the show, Milan Lucic was on the first line. I
Who's
remember
on there
mentioning
now?
Dylan Dubé, Lindholm, and Toffoli.
All right, Dubé is fine, but it's, I mean, it's not that big of an upgrade over Lucic. But hey, I'll take it.
Because Huberto has not been the Florida Huberto that they expected, and yeah, definitely he's definitely a drop cam, but for sure. But sticking with Backlund here, he's not really seeing much power play time, but he is buzzing playing with Mangiapane and Coleman for sure. Mangiapane is one of those guys that can play all over the lineup and get production done, and Backlund's benefiting from it. You mentioned all the assists he's getting. Only 9 goals on the year, but the assists are coming in hot. 22 assists so far. And, yeah, as long as they can fix that goaltending, which we'll talk about later, they might be a better hockey team.
Fucking now. Yeah, we're talking about it right now. So fucking stupid. Yeah, Backlund, love him. Love him. But, yes, Nick, great segue into the next conversation of goaltenders we should be selling. I just quit. I just stood up and left. First name on the list here, folks, Jacob Markstrom. I dropped him. I just said, see you. Goodbye. 13 wins. Don't care about him. Take him with
about
you.
About time.
Yeah. I couldn't do it anymore, man. Like, last 2 starts, 9 goals allowed. Mm-hmm. 2 starts before that, 5 goals total, 3-2. 2 starts before that, 7 allowed. Like, I can't do it anymore. I don't know what this team is doing on defense. Vladar looks way better. Markstrom looks unusable. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm telling you to sell him. Like, if, yeah, in most leagues, you should be able to get, you know, a bag of pucks back for him. Mm-hmm. Bag of pucks ain't nothing to kick away. Everybody needs a puck. But, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's not doing anything. His last 2 starts, he has less than 4 fantasy points total. His 2 starts before that, yeah, not bad, 17 total. 17 total. I get that from 1 game out of Jake Ottinger. Ridiculous. The 2 games or starts before that, again, less than 3 points total. I just... easy drop candidate. In a lot of leagues, in a lot of deep formats, I have to imagine he has some value, but 89% rostered? No.
Yeah. Off my team. 13-13-6 on the year, 293 and an 892. Nothing to be mesmerized about whatsoever.
He's yours, bud, for free.
I don't want him. He's
yours.
He's out for the pickings. He can do whatever he's doing, can be a 500 goaltender because – there's going to be way other better goalies that you can get as a streaming option every night opposed to having a Jacob Markstrom who's going to put up numbers like these. So he's definitely a sell candidate. And he's still crazy. 89% of fantasy teams are still on riding the Markstrom train. I don't get it. He's putting up these terrible numbers, and he's not even seeing a lot of shots, too. In these games he's losing, you're looking – I think the most he saw was last game against the Rangers. He saw 28 shots. It's not like he's playing on a bad team where you're looking at like a guy like Karel Vemelka maybe who's going to see 49 shots or 45 shots and let in 4 or 5 goals. No, Markstrom has a good team in front of him, but he just can't stop a beach ball at this point. So yeah, definitely a smart move to drop him. And yeah, in a deeper league, definitely try and sell him off for something. Maybe.
Well, dude, I picked up Vitek Vanacek. Mm-hmm. He was like 33-some-odd% rostered at the time. Mm-hmm. He hasn't lost this year. Like, I don't need this dude on my team. You know, I picked up Franco. Like, I don't need him. Mm-hmm. I've also picked up Varlamov off the Islanders, and I'm like I had mentioned, like, I really think the Islanders could take a turn around the corner here with that new top six group that they have.
For sure. It'll be interesting seeing Barzal play the wing on that line, because what is that line? I think like Lee, Barzal, and Horvat.
No, the top line is Bailey, Horvat, and Barzal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have Lee, Brock Nelson now moves down.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
Who is the other one? Don't tell me. I know it. Oh, Palmieri. Wait, that's who we were talking about earlier. Duh. Yeah. Hello. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I also had Tristan Jarry go to the IR, so like that freed up some space. And honestly, like I was thinking, man, he's hurt. Like, that's probably why I'm going to hang on to him. And then I was just like, nah, Barlamov's available. Like, screw it. Like, I like how the Islanders look right now. I like the feel of their offense. They've just been that team that just kind of needs that extra push. So I'll ride that way. And yeah, man, I mean, bag of peanuts, bag of pucks, bag of dicks, whatever you can get for Jacob Markstrom. I mean, commodity's commodity. Take what you can get. 1% rostered less than the last day at 89%. What are you people doing? Like, you're just taking on water. Drop them, trade them, do something. Get them off your damn team. Next guy on the list, not a friend of the show this season, someone that I threw a knife in their back like right away. He's on fire. That's Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell not having the greatest season, but buddy's on a run. 6 straight wins. Pretty good. He's not playing that great. He's allowing a lot of goals. Has just one game in this stretch where he's allowed less than 2 goals. Not good, not great, but there's value now. Like, he's doing something. Let's make a deal. Like, we got to swap him for something, because I'm betting this dude's going to turn this thing around and start taking dumps immediately. I actually do like the upcoming schedule, but I don't trust Jack Campbell. What say you?
Yeah, it's a real weird situation. He actually has a good record this year, 15-8-1, but his underlying numbers are terrible, with a 334 and an 887. You just can't be like that in the NHL. You got to have at least 900.
What was the straight up record again? It was, you said 15-8.
15-8-1, yeah, in 20.
15-8-1, and then I just said and I just said 6, right? So that means before this run, he was just a 9-8-3 goalie,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's so now that he's kind of come up to that level, that makes him sellable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You actually might be able to get something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it also is really hard too, because you have Stuart Skinner on the other end, who doesn't have as good of a record at 13-10-3, but he's got a 292 and a 914. So I think you're going to see these guys they're going to split starts on the stretch. But right now, it's Jack Campbell's net. He's doing really well with it. Double-digit points in his last 7 starts. He's got double-digit points. A lot to like here. And, when you're a goaltender behind Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, I should expect to be able to pull out some wins, I think, personally. And, you got coming up, you got Detroit, you got Philly, you got Ottawa. So some good matchups, Montreal in there, Detroit again. But I'll tell you what, these Oilers, right before the All-Star break, they screwed both of us over. And I remember both me and you were harping about that, because I had the McDavid over 3.5 shots on goal. Mm-hmm. He hit it in 13 straight games, and you had Oilers money line, and they blew it in overtime to the Blue Jackets. And I remember watching the overtime, McDavid needed one more shot, and he passed on a 2-on-1 right into a skate, missed the net once, and I was like so mad, because I was doing one of those things where you try and take whatever, $10 and turn it into $1,000, whatever, in 10 days. And I was doing good. I was up to like $80-$100. And yeah, McDavid screwed me over. So I'm not a real fan of the Edmonton Oilers at the moment.
No, I mean, when I see one of their goaltenders doing something good, I'm just like, all right, cool. Let's get what we can out of it, because it's not going to last. And that's just been a narrative for them for a while now. Next guy up we have is Marc-Andre Fleury. He's got 16 wins on the season. He's been looking a lot better recently, but it's still not great. I do think that the recent run here is enough to potentially get him off your roster. He has, I think, 3 wins in his last 6 starts, so he's splitting there. Mm-hmm. But he's got the goals against average number down now, at least below 3. Odd. save percentage is up to 90. That was lower. I guess what I'm getting at is like he started off pretty bad. He's starting to look better. And I feel like there's a little bit more value to get him off your roster at this time. I feel like come fantasy hockey playoffs, Filip Gustavsson is going to be the play. Like that is who you are going to trust more. And I feel like as the Wild season goes on longer and longer, the team's going to notice that as well. And you're just going to start seeing Gustavsson really take over the net.
Yeah, I think really this year as a whole is just the flower power hasn't been there. I don't think he's been as good as he was in, back in Vegas. And he was like a 500 goaltender in Chicago too. But yeah.
Oh, we were bad. He had no business coming to Chicago. I don't even know why we did that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got him for a bag of pucks.
It was paid him a ton of money.
What were we paying him, like six or seven?
No, we were paying him like $9 million a year. It was fucking nuts, man. We were using him to like just fill our cap.
I don't remember. Yeah, but with Fleury coming over from Minnesota, I think you're right. Gustavsson could be the play coming up down the stretch here. And if Fleury's performance doesn't turn around. But, I mean, he's getting, one, two, three, four, five double-digit fantasy appearances in his last five games. So, I mean, there is that. But he's just one of those guys you just got to kind of ride with him. Mm-hmm. Nothing too spectacular over here. And I think 93% roster is way too high for this guy. I think he's more of like a 70% roster kind of guy. But, yeah, teams are still rolling with him. And I think, yeah, it'll be interesting down the stretch because Gustavsson has looked good when he's gotten starts. The team has done really well. And so it'll be interesting, like you mentioned, coming into the playoffs, who gets the guy. But right now, yeah, I think Fleury, with his recent production, definitely someone you can ship off for sure to a team that really needs a goaltender.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could see him actually getting traded at the deadline. You know what I mean? Or wait, no, we already passed it. Damn.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we didn't pass it? All right. I guess I thought that Horvat trade was a deadline move.
Yeah, because Patrick Kane's not even gone yet. And so that's when you know the deadline's here.
I don't know, man. I've been feeling like those guys are going to wind up staying, unfortunately. Anyways, before that brain fart. Yeah, I think he could see him get moved. He's got a $3.5 million contract. If we're both right on Gustavsson, then they're going to save a lot of money having him as a starting goaltender, you know, making less than $1 million a year. And they could use that cap space to, you know, maybe elevate themselves with another top six forward. So I'd actually like to see that because Gustavsson's been really solid. And they're not like Fleury doesn't have a future with this team anyways. He's only got a 2-year contract. Mm-hmm. Like that's a good contract to move right now. So yeah, I mean, if you can get some value out of him, I would definitely look to move him. I don't see him being a strong play down the stretch of the season. A couple names left here. Sergei Bobrovsky of the Florida Panthers coming off a big win. F the Panthers. I had Tampa yesterday. Panthers won 7-1. Ouch, that really hurt. One goal against, 32 saves. First appearance since mid-January. And in mid-January, he was looking pretty good. Fires are hot if he's available. If people are, you know, willing to take an offer for him, I think that things are in a positive enough direction that you're going to get some good value back.
Yeah, I think for sure. And I think come the end of the season, come this push here, I think he's going to be the guy. I know Spencer Knight's gotten some starts. But at the end of the day, Bobrovsky, they're simply paying him more. You're paying the guy $10 million. You're going to start him, I think, personally. No matter how bad he is, he's just making that much money. Right. And 13-13-2 on the year, 317 and a 900 save percentage. Not terrible. Could be better. But I think down the stretch here, he's definitely growing in value for sure. I know for a while there, from mid-January to the end of January, there was a stretch where they had a lot of games in a week. What was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a week, 5 games in 7 days. And, you had Bobrovsky and Knight out for both of those, and it was a hot mess. I remember they were playing that game against Pittsburgh, and you had, like, Alex Lyon, and I think it was, like, an 8-7 game or 8-5 game. It was six, a hot seven. Mess. But, yeah, 6-7. But you got the goaltenders in now, and Bobrovsky going to get some more starts down the stretch here. I like San Jose, Colorado, both at home. And then you got Minnesota coming up on the 13th. So a lot to like here with him, I think. And, definitely someone who I think will be solid for the long run if you can manage to pick him up.
I like him as a back end goalie for the fantasy playoffs end of the season. And Panthers have looked a little bit better. Obviously, they're just coming off a huge 7-1 win. But before the break, they beat Boston 4-3. I think that was a surprising win. And that was coming off of three straight losses. So they're another team I feel like, you know, with the right move, they could have a strong finish to the season.
For sure.
Last up, never say anything nice about him. It's because he's terrible and he sucks. 74% rostered. People are starting to figure it out. They're starting to pick up some of the breadcrumbs. But Jordan Binnington should not be owned at any cost. If you can trade him, my first recommendation is target someone in your league who derives from the greater St. Louis area. That will be a good fire starter. From there, that's all you got, really. Yeah. Trade him to the Blues fan in your league or dump him because this dude's trash. He has 8-6? What is that? 14 goals allowed in his last four starts. The last time he won, it was the 19th of January. He followed that game up with a minus 10.2 fantasy performance. I don't know if I've seen that before.
Yeah.
I've seen goalies because they make obviously allow a lot of goals, but he only had three saves. He allowed in more goals than made saves in that game before getting yanked.
It was bad. I had Blues money line that game against Chicago. I was with you and they broke my parlay. And I'm like, this motherfucker, I was so mad. But Binnington, it's crazy. They played 51 games on the year and Binnington's played 39. Like, what are you doing? Sitting, what is his record here? 18-18-3, a 327 and an 892. This guy needs to learn his place. He's always – you saw the video I sent you of him just, like, losing it and that guy reacting to it. Yeah. He's had a lot of that this year where he's just losing his mind and he just can't keep calm in the net. And usually you look at goaltenders, are usually calm and composed guys. Not this guy. And you can see the result of that. And, yeah, definitely someone you don't even – don't even let him near,
like,
your fantasy
hockey. If you're going to be a goalie and you're going to act like, you know – I don't even see hockey players act like this, you know, like unless they're like peewees and they're just like, you know, their parents are just like belittling them about everything and they've just got the shittiest attitude. I don't know, but I don't get it with this guy. Like, not even just being like anti-Blues, anti-Binnington, like there's nothing to like. There's nothing to like. If this dude had, I don't know, some random name, if he never won a cup, like this just wouldn't be happening to people.
Cup was a fluke.
I'm not even gonna get started into that.
That was just like a coincidental thing. You see goalies go on runs. Binnington had a run and now
he did.
You come back to reality and he is not that guy anymore, and trading Villejuso to or letting him go, frankly, to Detroit,
extending Binnington was dumb.
Extending him and getting rid of Huso, definitely not the smart move there. And yeah, this guy is just a hot mess. And like, there's just nothing you could like about him. Like, I even if you're a Blues fan, I don't understand how they can get down with this guy with his attitude that he has. Like, I still remember watching the playoffs when he threw a water bottle at Nazem Kadri when they were playing the Avs in the second round. Like, that's just poor. It's just I don't even know. It's just terrible. And yeah, this guy, don't even touch him with a wooden pole, personally. But stay away.
Sell him. Get rid of him now. Do it. It's too late. Honestly, like, there's going to be very little market for guys like Binnington, for guys like Markstrom, but they got to go. Like, you can't be holding them at this rate. The 74%, the 85%+, 89%, whatever it was for Markstrom, like, it ain't 2020. It ain't 2022. Like, move on. Get a pulse. Join the conversation. Come to the table. We've got good stuff for you. That is all that we have for the show. Nick, do you have anything you'd like to share before we head out?
Yeah, check me out on Twitter, Face Off with OZ, for fantasy hockey, NHL content, everything over there, as well as ONU Tigers Hockey on Twitter. Follow me and what I'm doing in the college hockey world. Hoping to come in buzzing with a 3-game winning streak going into the playoffs. So looking forward to that and looking forward to touching base with you guys on the journey here.
I'm looking at your ONU Instagram page right now, and there's a picture of one of your players, and your picture says purple and gold. Nick, I don't know what's going on here. When I'm looking at this photo, I'm seeing blue, buddy.
Let me see this.
It's like someone messed with the photo. like, and made
Are you
it
talking
blue.
About this most recent post?
Yeah,
the one from, today. I mean, it looks a little blue.
But the post says purple and gold.
Yeah, well, because they're having
a purple. Does it look blue, or is it blue?
I it's a tough call, I think.
Tough call? That looks blue, buddy.
I don't
look
know.
At the gloves. The gloves are turquoise looking. That dude doesn't have turquoise gloves.
Yeah, I guess you're right on that one. But, yeah, that does mark our showcase date coming up, March 17th. We'll have anyone that's interested in applying to ONU and coming out to skate with the team is more than welcome. Free of charge. It just got to be applied to the school.
So if go. I'm coming. It's March 17th. It's day after my birthday.
You could very well apply and then go to the showcase and say, "Yeah, I'm not going here."
Dude, that'd be so great. I want to grow a mullet.
Well, it was crazy.
Wear the visor.
Well, there was a guy on Northwestern that was 33 years old when we played against him.
Awesome. Let's go. Let's go.
He went overseas to the military and was in the military for 9 years. And now he's back home getting his master's.
And they paid for his school. Thank you for his service, sir. Thank you. I love it. And he's just like, you know what? While I'm here, I'm going to kick some ass because I'm all done chewing bubble gum.
Oh, yeah. He's their leading scorer. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is great. He made it to the show at 33. I'm 33. I want to be 34.
Well, because they had like Big Ten radio there and they were covering the game with, Northwestern being a bigger school. And
I love it.
Listening like the radio cast after the game, and I'm like, they're like, yeah, whatever. This guy Daniel Kutchman, 33 years old, whatever, just came back from the military, and now he's playing college hockey.
That's awesome. Well, he'll be way more in shape than I would be. Not being technically active.
Well, technically, you get 5 years of eligibility, so he could play till he's 38.
Damn, running the show, till he's almost 40.
I can't imagine being 38 and playing with a bunch of like 18 and 19 year old kids.
Run them up. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Coming home to the family after practice.
Kids today, they're rough. That's a Patrick Marleau situation.
Mm-hmm, right.
I love it. All right. You can find me on Twitter at SGPNJB. Thanks for sticking around, listening to all of our fantasy hockey and random hockey talk. Take care, be well, be good. And if you can't be good, I don't care. Just be good at it. Later.